Hi there, my name is Doug Drachman. I'm an interventional cardiologist from Boston, Massachusetts in the United States of America. And I'm coming to you right now from the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session. It's being held in Atlanta, Georgia, also in the United States. And I am the chair of this meeting. So we've been planning the meeting for the past 18 months. And here we are right in the middle of things. It has been incredibly exciting. If you don't know me, this is a very hoarse voice that I have right now because I've been speaking with so many colleagues. The energy level has been extremely high here at this Congress, and the science has been absolutely outstanding. We have been overwhelmed. This year alone, we received 15 to 20% more abstracts than we have in the past 20 years. So the science is literally off the charts. I'm going to speak with you about the late-breaking clinical trials session that I co-moderated just yesterday that involved three interventional cardiology trials that I think really stand out in my mind. I'm an interventional cardiologist, so I naturally have a lot of interest in these, but I want to share what we found in the studies with you because I think it has a lot of opportunity to change our practice. The three studies I want to discuss are one called the SMART trial, one called the Danger Shock trial, and a third one called the Ultimate DAPT trial. I'll keep it brief because I think these have a lot of great points and I want to get to the meat of it. The SMART trial was very interesting. It was a comparison of self-expanding versus balloon expandable valve prostheses for individuals who have aortic stenosis and a very small aortic annulus. This tends to occur most often in women, so this, unlike many interventional studies, involved primarily women. In fact, 85% of those who were enrolled were female. They were on average about 80 years old, and they managed to randomize 716 individuals split evenly between these two valve choices, self-expanding versus balloon expandable. What they found was very important. The co-primary endpoint, which was mortality, stroke, or heart failure hospitalizations, was non-inferior between the two, so roughly equivalent at 12 months. Whereas between the two types of prostheses, the individuals who underwent implantation of the self-expanding valve prosthesis had better valve function at 1 year compared with those who had the balloon expandable prosthesis. This was mostly driven by a measurement of the gradient or blood pressure difference across the valve at 1 year, and also what we call the patient prosthesis mismatch, so the size of the valve versus the size of the patient. So that was superior in the self-expanding stent compared with the balloon expandable stent. So in women, or in those who have a very small aortic annulus, we find that perhaps a recommendation will be made to consider the use of self-expanding stents for our self-expanding prostheses for aortic stenosis moving forward. A very exciting impact. Next, I wanted to talk about the Danger Shock trial. This study examines the use of what we call a microaxial flow pump. So this is a type of mechanical support device for individuals who have shock. There's a part of the pump that's in the left ventricle and it pumps the blood to the aorta, so it unloads the left ventricle and it assists in circulation. For individuals in shock, this may be very important to do to help to support their circulation, especially for individuals who come in with acute myocardial infarction. So in the Danger Shock trial, they examined 360 individuals who presented with ST elevation myocardial infarction, or STEMI, who came in also with shock and had left ventricular ejection fraction less than 45%. These were individuals who were very unwell. They were very sick because of cardiogenic shock coming in with acute myocardial infarction. And they compared the impact of using the microaxial flow pump versus conventional therapy not involving circulatory support. What they found was that there was profound benefit from the use of this device. In fact, there was a reduction by 13% of the hard endpoint of death at 30 days for those who underwent the insertion of this pump. They found that the benefit persisted up to at least 1 year in evaluation after this index hospitalization as well, so very important. In addition, for individuals who had a mean arterial blood pressure of less than 63 millimeters of mercury, so worse shock, if you will, the pump had even more important impact. So what we find is that these devices, which are very impactful for individuals who have shock, can have potential for benefit for those coming in with ST elevation myocardial infarction. There are some important caveats. For example, the investigators also found that there was an increased risk of ischemia of the leg. The pump occupies a significant volume in the artery into which it is inserted, so ischemia in the leg can occur. There also was an increased incidence of renal failure, and also there was a concern for bleeding as well with these devices. So we have to always consider our data with caution, tailor our decisions to the patient themselves, and always think about the risk and benefit of what we might do. So also the danger shock trial, I think, will have a lot of opportunity for impact. The last trial, the third one that I want to discuss with you, was the ultimate DAPT trial. DAPT, of course, is dual antiplatelet therapy. And so this was a study to examine for patients who are coming in with acute coronary syndrome and are going to undergo percutaneous coronary intervention, or PCI, the idea of whether they should be maintained in the customary standard of dual antiplatelet therapy for an entire year, so aspirin plus a P2Y12 inhibitor, and in this case, ticagrelor, which is a commonly used and very potent P2Y12 inhibitor, whether it's better to stay on those two medications together for an entire year, or whether to keep on those two medications only for the first month, and then to drop the aspirin and continue only with the ticagrelor monotherapy for the rest of the year thereafter. And this is the first rigorously executed, randomized, controlled, and placebo-controlled trial. So patients were either on aspirin and ticagrelor or a placebo and ticagrelor for that period of time after the first month. And what the individuals who performed this study found was that the patients who underwent the investigational study in which the aspirin was dropped tended to fare better at 1 year after. For example, they had reduced risk of bleeding, which was very important, and also they had no statistical difference in other major adverse ischemic events. So very powerful findings. We know that reducing bleeding risk can have important impact on outcomes, and they found that this was a significant opportunity for advances in the management of these patients. The investigators went so far as to call for a reconsideration of our guidelines and to change them to consider single antiplatelet therapy after the first month after a stent is inserted for patients with acute coronary syndrome. So the ultimate DAPT trial really has the opportunity to change our practice and to think about using single antiplatelet therapy with a potent P2Y12 inhibitor with the greatest evidence base supporting ticagrelor for patients coming with ACS who undergo a percutaneous coronary intervention. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I am absolutely thrilled for attending and helping to develop the program for ACC24. I think you can get a sense for why it is that I'm so hoarse right now. It has been tremendously exciting. I wish you all could be here too. If you wish to see some of the content from this study online, you can access it through a product that we produce here called ACC Anywhere. And by looking on the ACC's website, you can find out how to subscribe to that service as well. Thank you so much.